Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Dr. Megan Anna Neff is a clinical psychologist based in Oregon, but originally from Wheaton, and in a recent study found that 80% of women with autism are still undiagnosed at age 18. Why is that, Dr. Neff?
Oh, goodness. Well, how much time do you have? There are so many reasons. For one, there's just a lot of adults who actually remain undiagnosed, and part of that has to do with how much the diagnostic criteria has changed in the last 30 years. So especially if someone was born prior to the mid-1990s, the odds of them being identified in childhood is really low. But then also, specifically, we didn't know a lot about how autism presented often differently in girls and women until we've really learned a lot in the last 10 years. So we're still missing a lot of the girls and the genderqueer people, but especially of that adult population, people like me, I'm a 41-year-old woman, we were especially prone to be missed because of how little was known about us.
Let me run down some of these signs of autism in adulthood, and maybe you can just comment on what that means from a clinical perspective.
Absolutely.
A feeling of being, quote, different from others.
Yes, this is such a common refrain you'll hear in the autistic community, as many of us will have had a lifetime of just feeling like either kind of slightly out of sync or different, or feeling like we didn't get the rule book that everyone got. And when we don't have access to the language of autism, we tend to believe it's because we're broken or because there's something wrong with us or it's a character flaw. And so you'll hear people use different language, like maybe they'll say, I feel alien, or I feel like I was from a different planet. But there'll be this pervasive sense of just feeling different that can often bring on a lot of shame, especially, again, if someone doesn't have the understanding of autism, there's going to be a lot of shame around that typically.
One of the other signs, difficulty with social cues.
Yeah, so there's something called context insensitivity, where our brains, partly how we filter information, we don't necessarily filter in the same cues in the same way intuitively as other people do. And so some of us can decode social cues, but if we're doing so, we're actually doing so analytically. Like, for example, I know when someone crosses their arms, it means X. So I'm using my logic to do it, but it's not like an intuitive thing. Whereas for my spouse, he will say like, oh, I look at these eyes and I like this person's feeling this thing. For me, it's a much more analytical process of understanding like what's happening socially. And that can be part of the misses and part of why we feel different from others. It's like there's this whole conversation that's happening in the room that we're not necessarily tapped into.
How about a confusing relationship history, both romantically or platonically?
Yeah, so that goes along with the feeling different and also this context insensitivity where we might not catch the signals other people are saying. And so that can create a lot of confusion, especially if we don't understand there's a different communication style happening. So one of the things that's actually really interesting, there's been research that's looked at this. It's probably best to think of autism as a distinct communication difference, more so than a communication deficit. And that's partly because when we're with each other, we actually connect quite well. There have been studies that have looked at this. However, most of our relationships happen with allistic or non-autistic people. So because of that, there might be miscommunication, but that's not understood, especially if we don't know we're autistic and we don't know why there's been a communication breakdown. And so we might have an experience of people get upset with us, but then they don't tell us why, and then the relationship ends. Or there can just be more conflicts that happen when there's communication misses that aren't understood and aren't talked about. So it can often be a pretty kind of diffuse, confusing social history.
Dr. Neff is a clinical psychologist. We're talking about the 9 signs of autism in adulthood, especially for those who have never had a diagnosis. We all understand sensory differences. That's one. A desire for routine. How about a need for solitude?
Yeah, so this goes back to the sensory differences. For a lot of us, we process things with a heightened sensitivity. For some people, it's a dulled sensitivity, but for a lot of us, it can be a heightened sensitivity. So we need a lot of downtime. We need a lot of rest. We need a lot of recovery from socializing, from sensory experiences. And again, especially if we don't have this lens, it can be confusing of like, okay, I went to this event, but now I have to recover for 3 hours. So our social battery, our sensory battery, it's just much smaller than most people. And so we need a lot of downtime to recover. And we are also more prone to burnout, partly because we have kind of a distinct nervous system that, again, takes in the world with more sensitivity. So we just need a lot more recovery and sensory downtime than the average person.
And the next two seem to have some link, a dislike of small talk and a desire for direct communication.
Those are absolutely linked. Yes. So the autistic communication style, it tends to be direct. It tends to be like we say what we mean and we mean what we say. And so indirect communication can be very confusing. And that goes back to that kind of confusing social history, that there can be a lot of misunderstandings around that. And then small talk is, this is just a classic. You'll hear almost a collective groan when you talk about small talk. It can be hard to know how to script out. It can be a big demand, a big energy lift. It's just a very undesirable task for many of us.
Right. And so with these signs, I feel like so many people are what are identified now as neurodivergent. At what point, if you connect with a lot of these, should you reach out and seek a diagnosis as an adult or find help?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. We talk about the lost generation of autistic adults, and that's this generation who, because of how much has changed, are undiagnosed. And a lot of them are actually in mental health treatment for other conditions, like perhaps anxiety or depression. So I think if you're wondering about autism, and especially if there are other mental health conditions in the mix, and you're going to treatment and you're not getting better, you should absolutely look into if autism is part of the piece, because it's going to be hard to get traction in your other mental health treatment if you don't understand this about yourself. And there are some great resources. Would you like some resource?
Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds. So, wish I would have booked you for like three segments, but share what you have.
So Embrace Autism is a great website. They've got a lot of screeners, which is a great place to get a database of like, and they'll say like, signs point here. You should look into this more. You could also check out Neurodivergent Insights, which is the website I run, where there's a lot of information on adult autism. So it starts with learning. The hashtag Actually Autistic on social media is another great way to learn from lived experience, or podcasts that specialize in it. And then from there, after you've done some learning, I think seeking out what medical provider might be able to help walk you through this.
Thank you so much. We'll also podcast this at WGNradio.com so you can share it with people you feel who need it. And we'd love if you've come back and join us again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for spotlighting this and for having me on.